Sto Yudel Tevei, Rabbi Yehuda, Mamestin.
One of the strangest things about the beginning of the Sedra, Mishpotim, is the fact that the Torah gives us a mitzvah which applies so rarely, and which is in itself quite hard to work out, maybe even looks like it's very high madregas, the mitzvah Eved Ivri. What's the shaychus between the parsha of Eved Ivri and Matan Torah? Immediately after coming away from Har Sinai, getting the Torah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're given a mitzvah which it's not negeir to us nowadays. Tony Bisman Shiyovel Noyeg, Eved Ivri, we're required to treat somebody who you bought as a slave, to treat him with incredible sensitivity and kindness and consideration. Why is that the first thing to hear straight after Matan Torah? I once suggested we maybe are familiar with the fridge magnet. The fridge magnet, what's it say on the fridge magnet? Hurt people, hurt people. Why does somebody hurt someone else? Because they've been hurt. Klal Yisrael bin Avodim. We know what it's like. We've been Avodim for 210 years. So the big nisoyan for us is when we get our own Avodim. How will we treat Avodim since we ourselves have been Avodim? Logic would say, well, if you know what it's been like, you won't do it to someone else. That's not how human beings work. They work the opposite way. Hurt people, hurt people. Because you went through that pain, then when you're in the matzav, you're tempted to do the same. So the Torah gives that as the hakdoma. The hakdoma, the first thing, before we deal with all our mitzvahs, which are much more negeil amaisa, first thing is this special treatment of the Eved Ivri, that he's treated so kindly and so nicely, even though he's not actually somebody with a great past. He's somebody who's a ganef. He's stolen and he can't pay back what he owes, so he has to be sold, nimka, by Beis Din. And the Torah also tells us something extremely important in this parasha. It tells us that the easy way isn't necessarily the right way. The Eved Ivri, after his experience of Avdus and being treated so nicely, you know what he says? I like this life. This is the best life. Why do we need the responsibilities? Why do we need the big achrayis of life? Be an Eved. So he's punished for that. Why is he punished? He's punished because Odom is meant to be a Baal Bechira. Sforna says, when it says the Rebbeinu Shem created man, but Tzelem Elokim, of course it doesn't mean we look like Hashem. Hashem has no physical appearance. Hashem has no body. So in what way are we like Hashem? Sforna says, because we have Bechira. That's our Tzelem Elokim. That we're free. And Eved is restricting his Bechira. All the responsibilities of life are taken by his owner, by his master. We're not meant to be Avodim, we're meant to be Bnei Chayun. I once saw a Tshuva Negris Moshe, where Moshe Feinstein discussed a very interesting shaila. There was a man who worked as an accountant, and he'd worked for many years in a certain firm, and they now, it's a Jewish firm which wasn't Frum, and they now gave him an opportunity to become a partner in the firm. The only problem is, what about Shabbos? He won't work on Shabbos. They know he won't work on Shabbos. But what about the fact that he's gaining from the profits earned on Shabbos? So Ramesha says there's a big problem in giving somebody a heter of making a shtar of shutfus. It's not so straightforward. And maybe he should carry on being an employee and not take the partnership, even though he'd earn more money. Ramesha says, no, one's not meant to be an eved. And if you're an employee, you're an eved. And here he's got a chance to become a partner. So even though his partners are not frum and they keep the business going on Shabbos, he should become a partner and make the shtar that he's not getting any chelik of the profits of Shabbos, because that's better. Because the Torah teaches us over here in this parasha, avdus is a bad thing. If you can avoid it, avoid it. So if you have a chance to be a partner, become a partner. So the Torah tells us very clearly over here, this man who says, lo yetzi chofshi, we don't approve of his decision. We say, we let him do it. Perhaps that's again part of the message of Bechira. You've chosen it, okay, that's what you've chosen. We let him do it. We take and say, yeah, you can tuck it be an effort, but you've got to have a hole drilled in your ear. But you have to have this bezoyin and this punishment to teach you a lesson, to teach you the yisoy that avdus isn't a good thing. In Parshas Yisroi, I was very puzzled by the fact that the Rebbeinu Shloilem writes in the Torah things which seem to be a cause of embarrassment to Moshe and certainly embarrassment to Yisroi. It says, Vayishma Yisroi Koyen Midyon. Why you need to talk about his past? That once upon a time he was a bishop. Once upon a time he was a galach. Okay, that's past. It's osa. You're not allowed to remind about tshuva that he didn't used to be from. You're not allowed to remind the ger that he used to be a goy. It's oinos devorim. Sefri says, it's oinos devorim when you talk about somebody's past. They've changed. He was once a goy, now he's a ger. He's once not from, now he's from. He keeps telling mitzvahs. So here the Torah emphasizes, he's a Kohen Midyon, his whole story. It's true that if you look in the Targum, you see Kohen Midyon, he says Rabba de Midyon. He doesn't say Kohen meaning religious functionary. And he doesn't mean Zagala. He's Kohen Midyon, he was the Rabba de Midyon. He's like a Choshevah person in Midyon. But the Pashas, we learn, we see so often the Torah emphasizes where Yisroi was, and Rashi brings on the Ati Adati, Ki Yigodol Hashem Mikol Lekim, that he worshipped every religion. So why is it that the Torah emphasizes these things? Surely it's going to cause pain, it's embarrassing. Another question I was bothered about is, Moshe Rabbeinu, the beginning of the Geula, how did it happen? Moshe Rabbeinu gets called by Hashem for the first time in his life at the snare. It's the first time. And the snare, how does he come to have the gilui in the snare? Because he was observant. Because he noticed something going on. He noticed Madua lo yivasne. If he hadn't noticed Madua lo yivasne, he would have carried on looking after his sheep. Everything would have gone very nicely and smoothly, but he wouldn't have had the gilui of going to Paroi, going to Mitzrayim, taking Eden out. Why is the Gula dependent on this Sor Lirois, on Maduela Yuvasne? The idea of delegation, if you've got a job and it's too big for one person, you should delegate, you should share it with other people. Some people find it very hard to share jobs. They want to do everything themselves. Even if you have a committee with 12 people, usually one person does the whole thing, or two people do the whole thing. It's kachi darke shel olam. People don't find it so easy to share things. But how could it be that Klal Yisrael needed the eitzah from outside? We needed the advice from outside. There was no one wise enough in the whole of Klal Yisrael to come up with this idea that it would save a lot of aggravation and time if the job was split. If rather than Moshe Rabbeinu answering every single shaila himself, it was split. The Shem Shmuel says that actually Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just answering shailas. says Moshe Rabbeinu was doing three things. There were three jobs they were queuing up for Moshe for. Number one, for brachas. It was a Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu came to for brachas. Somebody wasn't well. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu to daven for them. It was bakoshes to ask for people, ask for help. The second thing Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was passing shailas, telling them what to do. And the third thing was teaching Torah. All three different things. And this was going to be spread. But why Zvata Sechsa has to come, Dafka from Yisrael, there's not a single person in Klal Yisrael who can come to Moshe Rabbeinu with this advice. Maybe a special reason for this. In Mitzrayim, when Yidnu Meshubad in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu had to run away. He had to run for his life. He was a fugitive. Why? He tried to make peace. That's all. He tried to make peace. He saw a fight going on. He says, and because of that, he has to run for his life. Who are these two people? It's Dosan Vaviram, like it says then Balaturim. Surely this point, this enterprise of making peace, it should be something people would agree to. Why would both Dosan and Aviram be a threat to Moshe? I understand that the perpetrator considers Moshe Rabbeinu to be a threat. The one who's doing the hitting, I understand that. So he's being prevented in his plan. He's trying to hit the other guy, and he's being stopped by this interfering person. So I understand that's a problem. But why the victim? Why the person being beaten should also be against Moshe? He should rather have Moshe Rabbeinu give him a big hug, a big kiss, and say, thank you so much for saving my life. Instead, Dosan and Aviram, both of them, and those are the two people in the fight, both of them are misnagged to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're a threat to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad kedei kach, Moshe can't return to Mitzrayim, cause man, they're alive. Well, actually, they were really alive, but they'd lost their influence because they lost all their money. But why was there hisnagdus to Moshe Rabbeinu's making shalom? The Gemara in Shabbos that Peches on the base tells us what happened when Moshe came to Shemayim. We'll see that all these things will help us answer our original question about the Eved Ivri. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim. And it says, "B'shosh shalom Moshe l'morim, b'shim leib, b'shosh shalom Moshe l'morim." Malach Hashoreh said to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Rabbeinu Shalom, what's he doing here? What's he doing here? He's a little Yisrael. He doesn't belong here." Mal Yisrael Neinu. So Rabbeinu Shalom answered the Malachim. He told them the Kabbal Torah bo. So the Malachim then said to Rabbeinu Shalom, "What are you doing? How could you give it to him? You want to give it to Bosom Adam? My Elish Kisus Kurenu." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "You've got to come in now. You've got to give them an answer. You've got to give an answer to Malachim why it is that you should, the boss of Dom should get the Torah." So he said, "I'm frightened." So he said, "Chazal in tshuva." So Rabbeinu Shimon said, "No, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod and give them an answer." And this is his answer. He says, his answer is like, so we see again, how do you answer a question with a question? What's his answer to the Malachim? He says, Rabbeinu Shloilu Maksiv Bo. It's interesting, we know that the difference between Eden and the Goyim Lahavdil is, when it came to giving the Torah, the Goyim asked Maksiv Bo, we never asked Maksiv Bo. Even Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim, when he's about to get the Torah, he has no idea. He doesn't know Maksiv Bo. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maksiv Bo. They're on the spot. And the Rebbeinu Shem answers, "Omrecha Hashem Alikecha Asher Tzichu Meretz Mitzrayim." So he says to Malachim, "Oh, I've got something to say to you. You've never been to Mitzrayim. You were never Meshuvah to Paroi. Why do you want the Torah?" That answer seems isn't enough. And then he says, "Shuv Maksiv, but what else does it say in the Torah?" So Hashem answered him, it says in the Torah, so what does Moshe say then to Malachim? He doesn't say, you haven't got a Yetzer Hara, therefore this doesn't apply to you. He doesn't say, you know the Rebbein Shem, you're a Malach, you know the Rebbein Shem's existence, so therefore you can't have an Nisoyin of Avodah Zorah. He doesn't say that. What does he say? Bein amim atim shruim sh'oiv m'avodah zorah. Unbelievable. Do you live amongst the goyim? So you see from that, if the malachim lived amongst the goyim, what would happen? Then they would be oiv m'avodah zorah. Then they would have a nesoyim m'avodah zorah. What, a malach? How could a malach be oiv m'avodah zorah? A malach sees Hashem. For a human, it says, lo yirani adam b'choy. But Malach hasn't got to Leirani Odom Mechoy, he's not Odom. So of course he sees Hashem. For Hashem's presence is completely, completely clear to him. So why does Moshe say to them, you didn't live amongst the Goyim? He should say, you have no Yetzer Hara, or there's no Hest upon him. Jesus, you didn't live amongst the Goyim? Well, what sort of reason is that? We know that Bias HaMolek didn't come out of the blue. It says it came from Rafidim. Rafidim. Rafidim, what's Rafidim mean? Weakness. Rafi Yadeya Medivrei Torah. What was this Rafidim? Amolek's coming caused Yisrael to come. Yisrael came because of Amalek. So I saw the Shem Shmuel says an incredible pshat. He says, do you know what Rafidim was all about? Rafidim was about Klal Yisrael feeling we're not worthy of the Torah. We don't think we deserve the Torah. We're not right yet for Torah. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us to Har Sinai now? It says the whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get the Torah. We're not roi b'chalal for Torah. So because of that Avera, it says Nisyashu. They were Nisyash, they gave up hope. Because of that Avera, Amalek came. It says Dov HaTema. That's an Avera? That's a novel. Well, that's reality check. That's admitting the truth. We are not ready for the Torah. It's actually true, we're not ready for the Torah. If we're not ready for the Torah, what's the Avera? Why is this an Avera which causes Bias HaMolek? It's true, we're not ready. We had a Yiyush. The Torah should be sympathetic to us. That causes Bias HaMolek. And what's the result of Bias HaMolek? It wasn't just that Amalek came. There's a long-lasting consequence of Bias HaMolek, a consequence of Ad Hayom. Because that weakness, which Klal Yisrael had, caused Amalek to take away from the Umay Soilom their fear of Klal Yisrael. So throughout the generations, all the anti-Semitism, all the attacks that we've suffered and we're still suffering from are a consequence, ultimately, of this Rafidim. And surely this Rafidim was just facing the facts, admitting the truth. We're not roi for the Torah. I thought of the following question, which maybe doesn't disturb us enough. Every single Friday night we make Kiddush. What is saying Kiddush? The Shabbos Kodshoi Ba'av of Rotzen in Chilonu. Kishvoch who gave us a Nachla, gave us an inheritance, gave us Shabbos Kodesh. What for? Zikor L'maisa Bereishis. Okay, that part I understand. Zikor L'maisa Bereishis, we know what Shabbos is about. If you look in Sefer HaChinuch, he says the purpose of Shabbos is to have one day a week to think about creation. One day a week you take off from your normal work, take a rest, You need a rest. Zikaron l'maisa b'reishis. But then we carry on by saying, Ki hu yoyim t'chilo l'mikroi kodesh, zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. Zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim? Pesach is zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. A mezuzah is, I'm saying, zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim, because Rabbi Yishlam went over, you put the dam on the doorposts of the houses. That's zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. But Shabbos? What's the kesher between Shabbos and zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim? Well, Shabbos has something to do with yitzias Mitzrayim? Doesn't seem to have any connection whatsoever. There's Mishnah Novus, and it seems, I never noticed this, but it's a very repetitive Mishnah. It seems to mamash say the same thing twice. The Mishnah says in Novus, Histachel b'shloish dvorim. Look at three things. What happens if you look at those three things? Amazing thing happens. Ve'eina toboli de'aveira. You know, sometimes we like to have shortcuts. People have shortcuts. You have a shortcut to go through somebody else's back garden. When you have to walk somewhere on Shabbos, a Kiddush, of course you want to go through somebody. You want shortcuts. On a computer you have shortcuts. On a mobile phone you have shortcuts. So we want shortcuts in Yiddishkeit as well. We even seem to find it in Tanakh. A possible sort of shortcuts. The Gemara says in Makkos, another shortcut, not as quite as short, to say it's three things. It's Mishpat, Tzedek. But there are shortcuts in the Torah. The Mishnah here says there's a shortcut. How do you make sure you don't do any Averis? How many Averis are there? 365. The 365 different Averis. With just three things, you won't do the Averis at all. Just three things. What's the Mishnah say? Dama in Boso. Where'd you come from? Lona Toilech, where are you going to? That's the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah repeats. Na in Boso, mitzipas rucho. Lona Toilech, l'makum avarim maseleya. Me miat osin in v'cheshm, v'hei melech malachim l'ach gudash baruchu. So the Arizal asked, why does it say like that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah just needs to say Shloish Dvorim, Damayim Boso Mitipas Rucha, Loren Tehoilech Mechon Yusareya, Miat Osadit Nid Mecheshu, and Pei Melech Malchim Nakadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need to say the Mishnah twice. Why does it say it twice? Now Arizal gave an amazing answer. Arizal's answer, the Shem Shul brings this down. He says he thought of it, and then he saw afterwards it's Arizal as well. It's already Arizal long before him. Arizal's answer is like this. There's a tremendous danger in Yiyush. Is Musa a popular thing to learn? Not very popular at all. And heavy Musa, not at all popular. And really heavy Musa, nobody wants to hear you. They close you their ears, so they fall asleep. They don't want to hear heavy Musa. Who wants to hear heavy Musa? You say somebody, you know what? Where'd you come from? Tipus Rucha. Ayve. Is that what you think of me? I'm Tipus Rucha. Where are you going? 6 foot under. Food for the worms. I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about that. It's true, but I don't want to hear about it. Doesn't go. The Arizal said it's terrible for a person to hear those things. You can't tell people those things. They'll be misyayish. And not only will it not stop them doing Averis, they'll become even worse. Because when a person's depressed, he does terrible Averis. He does Averis from depression, from misery, from feeling so sad, feeling that he's a nothing. So Arizal said that's why the Mishnah says no. Damayin boso. And what's the answer? The answer is you come from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Bonim atim Hashem Elokeichem. You're very, very choshuv. You come from Kisa Kovet. Elol HaTohilech, where are you going? Where are you going? What do you mean? Do you know what human beings' tachlis is? It's so important, it's so major. Elsewhere in Shem Shmuel he says, Shluch Shodim Kemoisai. The Shliach gets the power of the Meshaleach. We're all the Shluchim of the Rebbein Shleim. You don't have to be a Lubavitcher to be a Shliach. Everybody's a Shliach. Every single person's a Shliach. We're sent down to this world on a mission. You know, if you called somebody a missionary, they say, what do you mean? I'm Jewish. No, we're all missionaries. We're all sent on a mission. Our mission is to come to this world from Karashem Shemayim. We're all on a mission. We've all been sent. We've been sent on a Gvaltig Shlichus. To do a Gvaltig Shlichus, to be Mekayim, the Shlichus of the Rebbeinu Shloilam, and the Meshaleach gives over the Koyach to the Shliach, and therefore the Rebbeinu Shloilam is Koyach Yochoil, the human being can also do everything that he's been sent here to achieve. That's Lola Tehoilech. So he says, you know what? What does this show? It shows me a wonderful, wonderful thing. That you're so important. You're such a VIP. You're such an important person. You matter so much. You're such a treasure. You're so valuable. You're so precious. Mashkiach on everything. There's a shocha protis in your life, every little detail of your life, how much happiness, how much sadness, how much pain, how much pleasure you have. It's all measured by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing that happens to you or doesn't happen to you, it's just perfect. There's a shocha protis in every detail of a person's life. The Rosh says, Narchas Chaim, K'mishe Misha Mamin, but. The Rosh says there that if somebody believes, he doesn't believe in Asher Sichem Eretz Yisrael, in other words, he doesn't believe in Hashgocha, then Af Bonoich Hashem Lekecha Einu Ma'amin, then he doesn't believe in Hashem at all. And that's the difference between us and them. Between Yidden and Goyim. The Yidden and Maminim, not just that there is a God, but we believe that every single detail in our lives is controlled. So this is, he says, Zeu Skulas Yisroel HaKol HaAmim V'Zeu Yisroed K'Latoyer Kula. So the Arizal says, after you've given the person a massive boost to his ego, you made him feel good. You made him feel aware of his chashivas. That is bonim atim Hashem lekechem, you're Hashem's child. You're very, very important. Mayim bosu. Chatzuvim tachas kisei hakovod. Where's your neshama come from? It comes from Hashem. I once said a pshat. I don't know if you ask him or not. So why is it that solitary confinement is the worst punishment? Why is it the worst thing to be marooned on a desert island? The worst thing to be marooned on a desert island, to have no contact with anybody. Why does it cause a human being so much pain when he's lonely? It's one of the worst forms of suffering in this world is loneliness. Why does it hurt so much? And I suggested the following. Medrash says in Shashirim that the reason why the human being often finds that his life isn't satisfying and fulfilling, it's because the Moshel Lebas Melech Shenosa Liruni, there was once the king's daughter married the peasant, and the peasant tries to provide nice things for the king's daughter, and she says, whatever you're giving me is nothing, I'm not interested, I couldn't care less. I've had much better, you know where I come from a palace. In the palace I got everything, and here's nothing. So that's the Gavan Nefesh Leishamale. So Nefesh isn't Nismale. And so what that really means is the only thing which gives a person real sipa Gavan Maseh is mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs. There's Ruchni. So I thought maybe there's a Haisofa to that. We don't belong here at all. We do not belong here. We don't belong in this world. This is a proizda. This is the corridor. We don't belong here, Bechlal. We don't feel comfortable here. We don't feel at home. Why? Because our essence is neshama. The essence of a yid is we are a chelek elokei mimal. So what gives us a good feeling? another bit of the chelak in the kamal. So Yisrov Arayis of Kodesh Abrichu Chatu. So the Torah makes us feel good. So when you learn a Blat Gemara, you learn a Tosfos, you learn a Rashba, you learn a Tzos, you learn a Shmaitzer, it gives you a gewaltig geschmack. Not just because it's intellectually stimulating, but because it's actually part of the chelak in the kamal. It's Yisrov Arayis of Kodesh Abrichu Chatu. It's because it's what we are. It's the chelak in the kamal. It's the Rabbeinu Shloilam. It's Teres Hashem. Mitzvahs also, it's Dvar Hashem, it's Rotzen Hashem. So when you see another human being, what is it about him which is an attraction to you? And the answer is the Chelek Elokam Mimal. The divinity in that other person, the godliness in the other person. And therefore you see somebody and it means something. That's why it's so important to say hello to people. It's so important to say good morning, it's so important to say good night, it's so important to say good Shabbos and good Yom Tov, good Vach. Because it's actually about the Chelek HaKam Mal. It's part of the Gaman Efshle Samali. So this Arizal is telling us that to be Machnia the Chomer, we can't just work with the Shiflus HaOdom. We've got to first be Nischazik. We even went through Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim. Dos Navirom are the Dugma. They're like the sample of Mitzrayim. Of the how bad it is. The Ashvas HaSviva is so great, generally, that Moshe Rabbeinu can argue with the Malachim and say, you would also be Oved Avodah Zarah if you lived amongst the Goyim. And it's a convincing argument, because that's Ashvas HaSviva. So you see Dosan V'Aviram, what's their, why are they bothered by Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a piskum, there's a statement which we're all used to hearing in England, probably in all English-speaking countries, in America. What's that? Mind your own business. Mind your own business, don't interfere. What's it your business? That's basically what they're saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's it your business? Mind your own business. Now, what's it your business? Is it your job? Have you been appointed as an auxiliary policeman or something like that? Now, why are you coming along here to get involved in the fight? Keep your nose out of this. That's what they're saying to Moshe. So what's the pshat? The Ashpas HaSviva is as follows. A Yid is meant to be margish tsar. A Yid is meant to feel the pain of another person. And when he sees somebody being hurt, and it's not his business, it is his business. Don't say, mind your own business. Don't think, mind your own business. Say, it is my business. I see someone else in pain. So when Yisroi comes along, he's the outsider. He's never been an Eved in Mitzrayim. He doesn't have the philosophy of Mitzrayim, and therefore he's able to see something which the whole of Klal Yisrael can't see, and that is, there's unnecessary suffering going on over here. There are people going through a lot of pain. They're waiting and waiting and waiting for Moshe. There's a very long queue. They didn't suggest, well, it should have a number system, you know, like... come back later. No, he says, let's find an eitzer to cut down on the pain. That's vatal sechse. But it's not a coincidence that this is just before Matan Torah. That this is the parasha Matan Torah. Because the Torah is teaching us over here, you can't get the Torah without midas. If you're not margish, you don't feel for the pain of others, you're not roi for Torah at all. So Vayisum Rafidim came from Amalek. And why is what's Amalek all about? Klal Yisrael is saying we're not worthy. So in this parasha, along comes Yisroi to say, look at me, look where I come from. Look at my background. Look at my history. And they're accepting me. The Rebbein Shem is kind. He lets us draw a line and stop looking back and look forward. The Rebbein Shem allows a person to change. You don't have to be stuck into how you were this morning or how you were last night or how you were last week. A person can change. That's why the parasha of Matan Torah has to be with Yisroi Dafka. The Yisroi is saying, I'm a Kohen Midyan. Do you know what my background's like? Do you know that I worshipped every single religion? And look at my son-in-law. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Look, don't be stuck. That's part of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You want to come out, you have to come out of Mitzrayim to get the Torah. That's part of coming out of Mitzrayim. Coming out of Mitzrayim is also the message. You're not Roy Lekach, and you can still come out of Mitzrayim. You're Memtes Shari Tumah. So why is Rabbi Shem saving you? At the Yamsuf, Malachi Ashoris and Makatrik, they say Halolu Valolu. So it's not just despite the fact they said Halolu Valolu, we could still be saved. It's Adarava. We can only be saved if we have that Hashkofa to realize the Rebbein Shem doesn't look at who's Roy and who's not Roy. He says, these are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. I'm going to save them. The Mitzrim are going to be enslaved, are going to be drowned in the sea. The Rebbein Shem Dafka teaches us Halolu v'halolu. He teaches us that Mem Teshari Tuma, we can come out of Mitzrayim. That's all part of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And maybe that's why what happens Friday night when you make Kiddush? You say it's Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Kiddush is Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Because every single Shabbos you have the chance to become a new person. Go out of Mitzrayim. And in Derech Hashem, Moshe Chaim says, there's an even bigger Kiddush. Not only is Shabbos like Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that when you're not Roy for it, you can be given that Shabbos like a Maton, you know, it's a Serusa L'Ela, it's not a Serusa L'Sata, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch just flies down from heaven. We're given the Siyat Yishmai, the Neshom Yisrei of Shabbos. So that's why it's Mamash like Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim when we didn't deserve to come out of Mitzrayim at all. It's Halolu V'Halolu. That's Yisrael's message. The Hashem says even more. He says every single time you daven Shemoneh Esra, it's also like Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's why you walk 3 steps forward. You walk 3 steps forward to say, I'm not Roy to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Rebbeinu Shloim has given me this present called Tefillah, and therefore it's like pressing the button in the express elevator, the express lift, going right to the top of the skyscraper in a few seconds. That's what Shemoneh Esra is like. It says in Derech Hashem. He doesn't talk about a skyscraper, but he says this word. That this is really what we're doing every single time we have the Shemoneh Esra. I'm not Roy to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to talk to him. Talk to him, not only to talk to him, but Losh Noichach, to say Atov. Baruch Atov Hashem, Alekeinu Mekav Yisenu. But the Hiskarvus, the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemoneh Esra is so, so great. That's why we're not even allowed to stop with the snake around your heel. Even the snake, right? Because your mum is so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, how are we close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're not Roy Lekach. We don't deserve it. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's the Mashma Shomuvah. I mean, Yisra has to come along because of that. That's the Pshat Mishpotim. That's the Pshat Eved Ivri. And Eved Ivri has to be the first message, because the Rebbeinu Shem is saying to the Yidden, Torah is Toilon Midas. The big challenge you've got to Midas, a phenomenal challenge in Midas, a huge, huge challenge. This is the challenge in Midas. You take the Eved Ivri, you treat him like a mensch. You take this Eved Ivri, you're kind to him, you're sweet to him, you're nice to him. Even though he's a ganav, he was a ganav, but let the past be the past. Don't talk about yesterday. Talk about the future. But awareness of the future gives us that encouragement. I think it's a tremendous lesson for us to realize the Kesha, Midas and Torah, Torah Zev. It's the very first thing about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us after Matan Torah is Eilam Shboshim Tosim Nechmeim, Eved Ivri, treat him nicely, be kind to him, be sweet to him, and don't forget, you were once an Eved yourself, you know what it's like, if you should be extra kind and extra thoughtful.
Oh, thanks. Very nice.